This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with us is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can follow him online. You can see his Twitter account. Also, you can go to his website, rippleconnects.com. And if you'd like to reach him by telephone, that's certainly an option at 763-438-1621. Good morning and welcome back, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And I'm looking ahead here because I know that a lot of people who are looking for opportunities, no matter what the age, whether you're a target audience of 50 years old or a recent graduate of college or someone who's reentering the job market, I think it's important for these individuals to stand out in the hiring process. And that's what we're talking about today, steps to stand out in that whole selection process. And as we look at this, you have some strategies and some techniques that we can employ to help us in that regard.
Absolutely. And I want to reiterate that we have such a talented workforce pool here in the state of Minnesota with all the different industries and education opportunities. Freddie, to be honest, when it gets down to those final rounds of interviews in a hiring process, sometimes there's very little areas that are differentiating one person over the another. There's so much talent that you're competing against. Just realizing how you can stand out in the process is the reason we dedicate a segment like this about once every 6 months, because that new beginnings listener who is trying to stand out, we want to give them, you know, two or three handful of ways to do so and to really refine their search. But also just be aware that there's so much talent and so little separating some of the top talent in the Twin Cities and beyond. It's important to know and important to take these little steps.
Little steps are important because they add up to some big, big opportunities for us. So let's talk about, we've talked about this before, but I think preparation, from what I've learned from listening to Joe McKenzie, preparation is key. When you're going through the process, you've often talked about not just winging it. And are you an advocate of developing your own set of questions when you go to talk with a potential employer or maybe a person who is already your employer and you're seeking to upgrade the position in which you are at the present?
Absolutely. And that's a good point, factoring in that you maybe want to move up within a corporation where you currently work. Yes, doing your own research, developing your own set of questions. Often, Freddie, we focus so much on what our answers are going to be to questions we don't know that are going to be provided to us. And that is important. But I do think the topic today is to stand out and to do your own research and develop your own set of questions that you're comfortable asking. It is a critical part of standing out. And there's so much information out there, excuse me, and there's so much ability for us to connect with people that may be in the know. Never wing it, but also do your research. You want to be, we've talked about being a discerning job seeker. But develop your own set of questions. Don't just print them off from the internet, think they're the best, but look at it as an opportunity to learn more about that that organization, to learn more about the challenges that they have, to learn more about those industries. Because due to that research, Freddie, you might be able to stand out just by even just bringing up a major issue in that industry. If it's supply chain or hiring or IT constrictions or messaging or what have you, if you ask that question mm-hmm. of that person in the hiring process, doesn't that allow you to stand out for being where their heads are at and what they're thinking about on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think so. I mean, that's the key. It shows that you're really interested in the opportunity and that you could be a reliable source to not only think on the surface, but to really to dig deep into understanding what exactly is going on with that opportunity and where you can be a really key player in solving some of the issues at that particular company or the project on which you're embarking.
Absolutely. So it allows you to stand out because it's almost like you're ahead of the game. You're already anticipating what you're going to be doing day one, but also you're trying to remain nimble and ready for what challenges day one of year two is going to present to you, because you know that industry so well because of your research, who you've talked to, what sources you cite. That is probably the most important way to stand out, because once again, the final rounds of interviews, there are very, very few things that separate the top talent. And this could be the one that you have a better instinct of what needs to be accomplished on day one of your work there, but also day one of year two. What is this challenge that this industry or this organization has to tackle, and how you're preparing yourself to tackle them?
Very interesting. You're talking about four key ways to stand out in the hiring process. The first one you talked about was developing your own set of questions that you can use in that opportunity. You just mentioned doing your research and getting an understanding of the challenges and the opportunities, the pitfalls, the advantages that could be in front of us as an organization and an individual. What would be another strategy to look at, Joel McKenzie?
I think the ability to bring a high level of curiosity about the position, the organization, and its direction. And that goes to that discerning job seeker mindset. But if that curiosity is there, and that's a great trait to have, is I'm curious, you know, tell me a little bit more about why this position was created at this point in time. Was it due to challenges because, you know, some of the research that I've done? But what you're really doing, that curiosity is opening the door for you to learn more about what they're up against. But that curiosity is certainly going to pave the way for you to introduce or curate similar examples of what you've done in the past at another organization, or if you're trying to move up within an organization, similar accomplishments and overcoming the challenges that you had in this area of the company. Only that curiosity, that drilling down of where that company is trying to take this position or this company or its direction, will allow you to feature some of the things that you're best known for, but that also stays in line with what the employer needs. That's not a self-serving tactic that you do there. That is making it relevant to that employer and what they need to accomplish with that position. So bringing a high level of curiosity and asking good questions, if you bring that and to the hiring process throughout, you will learn more about what it's going to take for you to be successful in this position.
Interesting. So you bring that to the table. And then bringing that high level of curiosity to the table, I think that, and you're talking about highlighting what you've done in similar situations, can that conversation slip to a conversation where it's all about the candidate and not so much about the employer and the employer's needs?
It can if you allow it. But I believe that curiosity, and you, if this is a balance back and forth with the employer and they state some challenge that they have, some deadline they have to meet, or some obstacle they have to overcome, if you do make it about how you're, you know, you almost align yourself with, oh, this is how we would approach it based upon what I did over here or this organization, then you're almost assigning yourself to this team even before you're hired. So curiosity, but keeping it what's in it for the employer, and that's another aspect I really want people to know. It's not really about you. It's about the employer and what they want to accomplish. So if you want to stand out, make it about the employer, but more importantly, how your time and your talent and your skills and your expertise helps drive what they need. Then you really stand out. I've seen people that have made the interview process all about how they are, how great they are, how what accomplishments they had, but most of those accomplishments are not relevant to what that employer is looking for. That's when you slip into that, you making it all about you. But the curiosity step, I think, opens the door for a really nice back and forth with that employer and the hiring panel. Do you agree with that, Freddie Bell?
I think so. That shows an individual who's really prepared. They're really ready for the challenge. And not only are they ready for the challenge, they're coming to the table because of this goal to stand out, that they're coming as the obvious choice for this particular opportunity that's in front of us. Joe, having talked with you, I always come away with the idea that you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people, unvaccinated healthy people, without wearing a mask. This would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. Glad you're with us this weekend. And joining us right now as we continue our discussion, we had the opportunity to visit with Dr. Nathan Chomolo, and he's with us this weekend. He is the Assistant Commissioner for COVID-19 Vaccine Equity. He is the Vaccine Equity Director, and we're talking with him about how effective these vaccines are against the Delta variant. Forgive this seemingly uninformed question, Dr. Chomolo. Will the virus, let's assume we have 84, 90% vaccine rates. Does the virus actually die, or does it cease to have a host in which to infect?
Yeah, it's more that second one, in that it doesn't have a place to go. Then the infection rates get really, really low. And we can even, imagine, you know, there's always a potential if we were to get really high vaccination rates to have a situation where we could, if there's an outbreak of it that comes every now and then when someone travels to a part of the world where there might be higher rates of it, comes back and brings it here, that we could, you know, quarantine, isolate, and really stop it from turning into a big outbreak again in our community. But yeah, no, the idea is based off of all the different, you know, variants that have come up and how long the virus has been circulating around the world, that it's unlikely that it's going to ever go away, you know, completely, kind of like the flu, right? We get the flu every year. Mm-hmm. There's ways that we can, you know, protect ourselves, you know, protect our children so that when they grow into adults, that they don't eventually get it and have a risk of more severe complications as well. It's not a dumb question at all, because all of this stuff is, you know, things that we're talking a lot more now than we did, you know, 2 years ago. And the whole goal is for us to get protected so that the virus doesn't have any place to go, so that we can return to life more and more like we are used to.
We're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo. What do the metrics look like right now with regard to the vaccine take rate?
Well, and what I usually kind of also compare to is flu immunization rates, right? Because that kind of gives an example of some baseline vaccine deliberation and where we are today.
Sure. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So for our communities, our last point of data was from a couple weeks ago, towards the end of June. And at that time, we saw that for first dose amongst Black Minnesotans, we were at 51% of Black Minnesotans having a first dose. Amongst our American Indian neighbors, 49%, Hispanic neighbors, 54%, and Asian Pacific Islander neighbors, 71%. And, you know, all those numbers are actually notably higher than what we see in an annual flu or influenza vaccination rate. You know, usually we're around anywhere from the 30s to 50%. Sometimes in a good year, we can get up to 60, you know, percent overall. But in most of the time in our communities, we're closer to 30 or 40%. So the fact that we're at 51%, we've had, our community has had the most, the highest increase in vaccination rates week over week for the past month. And so those are all encouraging signs. And, you know, we're continuing to push to see if we can get our community up closer to that 70% marker as well. And also thinking about what it's going to look like for our kids as they return to school to make sure that they're protected when they get back in those settings as well.
We're heading into the fall. Our final question for you this weekend. We're heading into the fall. We just noticed that the Twins are at full capacity. Football season is just right around the corner for us. And I know we hate talking about winter at this time of the year. If it were you, would you feel comfortable going to a sold out Minnesota Vikings game, given what we know right now and what the trend tends to be, or seems to be at this point?
Yeah, so I think that remains a personal decision for a number of reasons. I'll give my personal example. You know, I have a 4-year-old at home who's not old enough yet to get a vaccine. And so I don't think I would be comfortable going into the situation, because even though I am very comfortable going there by myself and knowing that I'm very unlikely to get very sick, let alone sick at all from COVID-19 because I'm vaccinated, there is a chance that I could still bring that back home. Things like mass events often would have people from different parts of the country or even different parts of the world who could be bringing in, you know, different variants. And so I think those are all things that I would take into consideration. So, you know, right now, I wouldn't feel comfortable going to an indoor venue. An outdoor venue, I think I would feel much more comfortable. And we actually are Loons ticket holders and hope to go to a Loons game here in a couple of weeks. But you know, indoors, I think, is a little bit different still. And then certainly depending on, you know, how they do crowd control, how they do flow, things of those that I'll be watching pretty closely. So it really is a personal decision based off of who's in your life, who's potentially put at risk, and, you know, and what's going on not only in Minnesota, not only in the U.S., but really around the world.
Do you have a final thought this weekend, Doctor?
Yeah, just continue to, you know, please have those conversations with folks who have yet to get their vaccine, because really the way that we don't have to worry about any of these variants is, you know, by getting our community rates up as high as possible, and then, you know, really helping to ensure that everyone has the right information that they need, and really focus on getting those vaccines out more so than, you know, talks about boosters or things at this point.
That's Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the assistant commissioner, and he's focused on COVID-19 vaccine equity. He's their director from the Minnesota Department of Health. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
The dictionary defines service as an act of helpful activity. That's today's point of focus, being of service. Service is an action, and it's one of the most fulfilling actions that anyone can take. Being of service requires thought and effort, but the rewards are immeasurable. You can be of service at work as you assist your coworkers on projects, in your community as you volunteer for special events, or even with your family as you help with their daily task. You can be of service to organizations that are meaningful to you, that need your assistance or expertise, because it's through service that you set the law of giving and receiving into motion, and you get more than you give. Your acts of service helps those in all the lives that you touch. If you'd like to learn more, visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us right now, we turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, a staple in our communities, taking care of people who really are energetic and really taking that really big next step in their lives. Kitty Harris is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. So glad to be talking with you, because I know that when I talk with Kitty Harris, we're talking about some really exciting activities happening right there in the heart of our community. And I believe you've got some information about Alive and Kicking. First of all, tell us about who Alive and Kicking is.
Absolutely. So Alive and Kicking is one of our on-site partners, and it consists of a senior rock group, which starts at age 62 and up in order to be in it. And they perform throughout the Twin Cities at lots of different locations, but specifically for Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, they host monthly sing-out initiatives with the community in order to bring that music component in, because we know how important music is in keeping people connected, and it transcends generations. So we're very excited to announce that they are going to be kicking off their summer concert series.
Wow. So when does this take place? Everybody, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. We're talking about a concert series with Alive and Kicking. When does that take place?
So the concert series is going to start here in the next couple of weeks. They have lots of different dates that they are going to be doing over the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I would encourage people to go to their website, aliveandkickingmn.org. Some of the places that they are going to be, at the Magnus Veterans Foundation on July 24th. And then they've also got some upcoming dates at the Schubert Club Band Shell. They're going to be out in Bloomington at the park. And then we're going to do some in-person things at some dementia-friendly communities and homes. And so we're just so excited that everybody is fully vaccinated and ready to get outside using CDC COVID safety protocols to do what we love, which is share through music with the community.
Wow. Alive and Kicking. And I've got to tell you that it sounds like, you know, a 62-year-old minimum requirement to be a part of Alive and Kicking. But it's more than just singing for this group, as I understand it.
Absolutely. Singing is the purpose that brings them together. And actually, a lot of the people who started in Alive and Kicking are former theater, concert, that type of background. But then you also have people that reach that age of retirement and thought, I still have more to give. I still want to be a part of community. I still want to make my voice be heard. And so it is a lot that they take on with memorizing songs and choreography and full stage performances. But again, it adds that meaning and that purpose to say, no matter the age, that I can still go out and perform and do and show. And we have members in Alive and Kicking that are up to well into their 90s. And so it just shows you that range of, you know, just that 30-year gap of our older adults, how you can still have such a meaningful existence and provide that energy through music.
Well, everybody, this is Kitty Harris with this. She's a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. If you can imagine, if you know, how many members are in this choral, and over time, how many members have they had?
Right now, there is about 35 or so members on cast, different changes over the last year, of course, but they've taken in hundreds of members over the years. They have a couple subsets of the group, the rockers and the rollers, where there's people that want to participate in the group but may not have the flexibility to actually do the touring and the concerts and the weekly rehearsals, because it is a very rigid schedule. So they've done a great job of providing multiple layers for people to participate. So they've had hundreds of seniors throughout the Twin Cities over the years participate in this program.
Wow. the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Centers presents the Alive and Kicking. The first of the series of summer concerts starts on the 24th of July, as I understand it.
Yes, Saturday, July 24th, they are going to be at the Magnus Veteran Foundation. And then their next date is going to be Tuesday, July 27th at the Schubert Club Band Shell. So again, people can visit their website, www.aliveandkickinmn.org, or they can visit us on our Facebook page, Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and there's a link to their page from ours as well.
Kitty, are these concerts free?
Some of the concerts are free, and then some of them do have a nominal fee, like $5 or $10. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are outside, of course, and so people are encouraged to bring a chair or a blanket
sure.
to sit down on. So when they check the website, they will be able to see, depending on the location, what the cost is.
Wow. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And can you give us an update on the, I'm calling it the reentry program coming from COVID over at the wonderful Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. What do things look like right now, and what's the progress report so far?
So right now we are fully open. All partners are operational Monday through Friday. So we still are providing our clinic services through North Point Health and Wellness. We're still providing physical therapy, speech therapy, pool therapy through Odom Health and Wellness. And our newest partner, the Lau Assistance Center, has continued to host community programs and breast cancer events. So everybody is, you know, we are fully open, welcoming visitors back in. Our great room is back up renting to the community. So we're just excited to, again, with COVID protocols, be back open and providing services for the community.
You know, there are people who are saying that they've learned a lot going through COVID the last year and a half. What would be the large takeaway that you've learned, or the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center has taken away from going through this devastating disease?
I think the biggest takeaway for us is ensuring that we have the proper technology in place to have access to our older adults to prevent isolation. I think that was the biggest thing, is that those of us who use technology on a regular were able to quickly transform to Zooms and WebEx and team meetings. But when you have seniors who actually don't only have a house phone and don't have a cell phone, trying to keep them on their regimen of their doctor's appointments and their socialization and different things like that, it's a really hard thing. So we definitely have to bridge that technology gap for our older adults.
Wow. What would you say to people who would like to learn more about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center and get more acquainted with your collaborative partners?
They can visit us online at www.heritageparkcampus.org, or they can give us a call at 612-344-2221.
All right. Well, stay cool during the summer, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That's Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in Minneapolis, and this is New Beginnings.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you again for being with us this weekend as we share some great information with you to help you to chart your life and make some sound decisions. And I enjoy talking to you about your finances and about money, money as it affects you as a person who might be 50 plus, or in those who in your family who are a little bit younger than that. And when it comes to our finances, there are a lot of ways that I've found over time that we can sabotage ourselves. And one is not putting enough thought into what we're doing, and the other is putting too much thought into what we're doing. In other words, overthinking, becoming obsessed with minor details, twisting ourselves into pretzels and getting overwhelmed with choices and doing nothing can be just as damaging to our financial future as the opposite. It's the paradox of choice. The more information we have, the less we can process it all. And the brain kind of short circuits that, according to Melody Wilding, she is the executive coach and author of Trust Yourself, Stop Overthinking, and Channel Your Emotions for Success at Work. She says 7 of 10 people ages 25 to 35 years old struggle with overthinking. That, according to a University of Michigan study that she oversaw, She says advisors see this all the time. Dana Ansbach, who is an advisor in Scottsdale, Arizona, has one client, a Fortune 500 executive, who has too much money concentrated in company stock. She says he constantly overthinks what the share price might do. And when forced to exercise options and sell, she says her client sits on the cash, overcomplicating the decision of when and how to invest it. In the last 7 years, so-called analysis paralysis has cost him nearly $500,000. A Columbia Business School study found that the more investment choices people have in their 401k plans, the lower percentage of participation, even if there was the free money of a company match. The question is, how can you overcome this tendency to overthink and actually make a solid money decision, even if it is imperfect? Here are a few pointers. Number one is to go autopilot. If you have to actively decide to save money at the end of every month, there's 12 different times in a year when that decision or a lack of decision could go wrong. However, if you schedule those paycheck deductions, you are removing your own worst tendencies from the equation. Don't decide, automate. That according to Kerry Taylor, who is a Toronto-based money expert and founder of the site SquawkFox.com. Reducing friction, he says, and the need to make financial decisions is the magic of behavioral economics. He says he's so into it. Number two is to set a deadline. First, we told you to go autopilot and to automate so those decisions are made for you every month. Number two, set a deadline. The brain's natural tendency is to go around and around ad infinitum. So counteract that by limiting yourself to a defined period to make a money decision. He goes on to say to limit the number of resources you'll consult rather than going down an endless rabbit hole. He says pick a date and put it in the calendar and even commit to it publicly. So number one, go autopilot. Number two, set a deadline. Number three, consider opportunity cost. If you're obsessing over investing in that perfect stock at the perfect price, that's one decision. But the larger and more important decision viewed over the long term is being in the market or not being in the market. And then good enough can be good enough. Sure, we'd all like to make that brilliant investment decision, like buying Apple stock for a few dollars in the early 2000s. But if your decisions are not perfect, you can still make good ones. It may not always be a home run, but singles and doubles will still get you around the bases, if you like that baseball vernacular. We tend to fall into trying to find the most perfect possible option because we're so afraid of choosing wrong, Wilding says, and one of whose clients made an elaborate spreadsheet comparing various kitchen blenders but still couldn't pull the trigger. But the cost of inaction can be huge. By not making a decision, that's a decision too. Last week, we were talking about your 401ks, and we were speaking with Bankrate officials. Bankrate spoke with a number of financial experts to break down the top ways to set up your 401k to thrive this year and beyond. And this is the last. I'm going to give you a total of five action points. We gave you points one, two, and three. And here's point number four. Avoid being too aggressive. If you have a long-term horizon, it can be smart to get aggressive with your portfolio, but those closer to retirement should be careful too. For retirees and pre-retirees, it might be time to shift into preserving your assets rather than trying to play catch-up. Yet many are focused on growing their assets, including aggressive investment strategies, rather than preserving their assets against sudden market downturns. That according to David Potter, who was a former spokesperson for Mass Mutual Financial, citing the company's research. He says many people may be taking more risk than they realize. Potter goes on to say that investors should reevaluate their portfolio regularly to consider how they would fare if the market declined in a really big way. Typically, financial professionals recommend that retirement savers dial back their exposure to stocks as they get within 5 years of retirement and within the first 5 years after retiring, he says. A steep market downturn of 20% or more during these periods could really reduce your income in retirement. And then finally, number five, reconsider rebalancing. The various positions in a portfolio grow at a different rate, And over time, the portfolio can move from its target allocations to something quite different. Investors should look at their portfolios to see if they need to be rebalanced. And then finally, think about a Roth 401k. If you're looking ahead a few years, you may also want to consider opening a specific type of 401k called a Roth 401k. With the Roth version, you pay with after-tax money, but you're able to enjoy tax-free withdrawals at retirement. Tax rates are relatively low, so now could be a good time to fund a Roth 401k rather than a traditional one. And the bottom line to all of this discussion is that the 401k is an excellent vehicle to save for retirement, and it's a great time to join the many other workers who are securing their financial futures by saving and investing. And I hope that's you. This is New Beginnings, and our program continues right now. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And in her time before she said, "I think I can work better from the other side," she said goodbye to the Unity staff, which numbered about 600 in 1931. And she went to her little cottage at Unity Village that was just a retreat, famous for having no kitchen, because her son, who designed it, said, "I don't want mother to have to make meals and take care of it. This is her place of retreat." So she went there and worked in her rose garden for 2 days and then passed peacefully in her sleep as she stepped out of this physical world to continue her work in the spiritual realm. In those final years, they only have records, because it was a matter of confidence, they only have records of her letter writing in the last 3 years of her life. But there were about 10,000 individual letters she wrote of encouragement to people who turned to Unity. So this same third step in our Unity movement, this reaching out, is kind of the cutting edge of Unity today. Unity centers and those who follow Unity are saying, how do we show up in the world with these teachings of hope, encouragement? How do we assist people in need? And so there has been a growing concern with social help, social concerns of all kinds. What can we do in the world? Now, it wasn't that the Fillmores didn't do that. Their ministry in Kansas City during the Depression had a Thanksgiving dinner project, and they took out dinners to Kansas City families each Thanksgiving, numbering in the thousands. So they were aware of social work in their day and very concerned about it. But now our movement is taking a greater interest, and we'll speak about it a little more next week. For this coming week is the Unity Annual Conference. Of course, it's all online this year, as is often the case, but there will be much talk about what Unity can do in a greater and greater way in helping the social concerns of our world. That concern comes from our fifth principle. The five principles of Unity, number five, is essentially walk your talk. Demonstrate your truth. How do you show up in the world, and what do you stand for, and what are you willing to work for? What are you willing to offer the world? So what is Unity today? What is Unity today? Well, the bottom line is, it is what we will make it. As I said in the beginning, it's important to look to your roots, but it's equally important. How are you going to keep the unity idea, any powerful idea in your life, how are you going to keep it alive? You must constantly reinvent it. Make it fresh and new. It was one thing in 2020. It needs to be a new thing in 2021. In the future years, it will be the same. We must constantly remember what unity means to us and choose. What are we going to make of it? So let us turn for a moment and kind of seal some of these ideas in our mind where they can germinate and grow over time. So I invite you to close your eyes, just turn within, and turn within the collective consciousness that we are here today and our friends online. Let us plant these key unity principles in our mind by affirming them, appreciating them, focusing upon them. We begin. We have a knowledge of our origin, and it is our foundation for confidence in living. Jesus quoted to his people the scripture from the Psalms. You are gods, sons and daughters of the Most High. There is the foundation. You are God's creation. You have a divine inheritance. That is your power to meet any circumstance in your world. Secondly, we realize that by enlightenment and self-awareness, that we are not yet all we will be. Our potential development is unlimited. Again, Jesus claimed, "What I do, you will do also." So we recognize the great divine potential within us. We call it forth, and step by step we bring it into expression in our life, in our world. Third, the realization that the same spirit within us is within all people. This is the law of Christ awareness that sets the standard for all relationships and community. As Jesus said, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not equally to yourself, but love your neighbor as a true part of yourself. In the absolute truth, there is no separation or even distinction between God's people. We are all God's children. That relates us. That connects us. That is a powerful thought as we live in an outer world that struggles with violence, conflict, prejudice. Hold that thought. It can transform your life, our community, our nation, our world. We are all connected. We are all part of the divine unity. And so it is. And we give thanks as we turn our attention from this inner reflection back to our outer activities of this day. We can say, thank you, God, for empowering me, for giving me a divine inheritance that gives me the skills, the confidence, the warmth of heart, and the greatness of mind and vision to be a beneficial presence in this world, to go forth and do the good and receive the good. And it is so, and we give thanks. And now let us take this opportunity to really take this into our soul through the beauty of music.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.